All right, take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9 for the message tonight. I like tag team baptism. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Yep. I know you always get the big guys. I've noticed that. Yeah. 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 David, y'all remember out in Illinois when I baptized that 6'8" biker? Remember that? This guy was 6'8" and he had a bad heart, and he weighed about 400 pounds. Yeah, he was that enforcer for the Outlaws motorcycle gang, and he came and got saved, and he said, "Now I want to get baptized." He said, "I want to get baptized while I'm here." And I said, "Right now?" He said, "Yeah, right now." And so I said, "Well, all right." I knew he'd gotten saved because I spent 20 minutes with him on the front row leading him to Christ. So I know he got saved. And so we had to take him up the stairs to the second level and then come out into the baptistry. And when we got out there, I stood beside of him. I looked like a dwarf standing beside of him. Now, seriously, this guy was 6'8" and weighed 400 pounds. His shoulders were this wide. And one of the men in the church asked me, said, "Pastor, how are you going to do this?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to float him." And that's what I did. I said, "Now, Yogi," that was his name, his nickname. I said, "Yogi, you just lay back like you're floating in a pool." And so he just laid back like he was floating in a pool, and I baptized him. And and did you guys? I saw some of you guys in the bass section dodging water. I saw you back there, there was water flying everywhere when Yogi came up out of that water. But anyway, I enjoyed that tonight. That was good. All right, are you in Acts 9? All right, let's begin reading in verse 1. This is a familiar passage of Scripture. I'll just go ahead and tell you that the message where I'm bringing the thought from tonight is in verse 8. And I will emphasize it when I get there, but let's read down to it. It says, "And Saul." Now, you know that this is Saul, who would later become the Apostle Paul. All right, but before he was saved, his name was Saul. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," which is the way of Christ, "if he found any of this way, any Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Can you imagine that scene? Can you just fathom that in your mind? The Lord suddenly just appearing and knocking Saul to the ground with the light of his presence, and then calling out to him and asking, "Why are you persecuting me?" I just can't fathom this happening. Verse 6 says, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Back in verse 5, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He wasn't sure who it was, but whoever it was, he was ready to make him Lord of his life after what he just experienced. What do you want me to do? And the Lord said unto him, the middle of verse 6, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. Now watch this carefully. And when his eyes were, what's the next word? Opened. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now, I want you to focus with me tonight on that little part of the verse. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. In other words, when his eyes were open, he didn't see anything, couldn't see a thing. If you keep reading, you'll find out that he was blind for several days. This experience left him without the ability to see. But I want you to focus now upon this little phrase. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. I want to speak to you tonight a message that I've entitled, Eyes Open, Seeing Nothing. Let's pray together. Our Father, help us tonight. Lord, I want to help folks tonight. And you know my heart. You know that I do. But Lord, I cannot be what I need to be for my people tonight unless you empower me and bless me and help me to do so. Father, give me a clear mind to say what needs to be said. Help me to listen to the Holy Spirit tonight and to be an encouragement to our church family. Father, I just thank you for the Word of God. And oh, how I pray that you will bless your Word tonight. Give us understanding and we'll rejoice in it and be thankful people. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and amen. The Apostle Paul was blinded by a flash of light from heaven. He's on his way to Damascus. He's got a bag full of death certificates that he is delivering to Damascus. And all of a sudden, the Lord shows up. I have visualized this scene 1,000 times in my mind's eye. I see Saul then, knocked to the ground by heaven's glory. I see him laying prostrate on the ground. And I hear the voice of the resurrected saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I can just see this whole thing happening in my head. What a scene it must have been. Now, I want you to think about it for just a moment. No doubt, for a few seconds when this happened to Saul, he closed his eyes. Wouldn't you think? I mean, think about it for a moment. We instinctively shut our eyes out of nothing more than self-defense when something traumatic happens. It's just a natural reaction. We close our eyes. That flash of light would have forever burned his eyeballs had he not closed his eyelids. So he did what was the natural thing to do. He closed his eyes when the glory of God appeared around him. And then a few seconds later, he got up from the ground and slowly opened his eyes. But when he did, when his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. When his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. Now, folks, think of that for just a moment. Just a half an hour earlier, those eyes had seen everything. The road, the animals upon which they were riding, the palm trees, the city of Damascus out in front of them. But now, with eyes wide open, he can't see a thing. Not the sky, nor the clouds, nor even any of the men trying to assist him and get him back on his feet and get him to safety. He couldn't see any of it. But notice this loss of vision, this inability to see, happened when his eyes were wide open. Please notice that. When he opened his eyes, he saw nothing. Now, what happened here is really quite different from what we might think should have happened. You would think that when he opened his eyes, he would have been able to see. Now, I want all of us to just do a little test here, all right? I want everybody, when I count to three, to tightly close your eyes. And then I'm going to tell you, open them. And if there's anybody who is unable to see when I say that, I want you to raise your hand. We're going to get you help right away. All right? One, two, three. Close your eyes. Now open them. Now you can see, right? That's what we would think should have happened. When Paul opened his eyes, he should have been able to see. But my text says that when he opened his eyes, he saw nothing. He saw no man. He could not see a thing. Now, if you'll remember back in the Old Testament scriptures, there was a young man who, with open eyes, saw the mighty Assyrian army on the mountains all around where he and the prophet Elisha were. And when he saw the mighty Assyrian army, it scared him half to death. And he looked at Elisha, and Elisha was sitting there just as calm as he could be. And he asked the prophet, "What is wrong with you? Why aren't you afraid?" And the prophet just bowed his head and said, "Lord, open the young man's eyes that he might see." And the Bible says that instantly the young man's eyes were open and he saw a sight that would have emboldened even the biggest coward on the planet. For he saw over the shoulder of all the Assyrian army, the mighty army of God's angel band. And that calmed him down immediately. He saw the mountains full with the chariots of the Lord. Now that is a fitting consequence of vision. That's a fitting result to looking at something. When your eyes are opened, you see it. But my text says that when he opened his eyes, he saw nothing. You see, folks, vision reveals to us what we have never seen before. It reveals things fresh and new. It shows us undiscovered glories we have not experienced before. But here in our text on the Damascus Road, and let me stop here and say, at midday, when the sun was at its highest and at its brightest, at midday, it worked just the opposite for Paul. For the Bible says he opened his eyes and saw no man, nothing. Now let's think about our lives tonight. Let's think about us as people, as human beings. Let's think about us as a church. Let's think about us as Christians and see if we can find any parallels that with this principle and with what happened with Paul. Is there any opening of our eyes that leaves us with a forfeited vision? Is there any opening of our eyes? Do we ever have a time in our life where we open our eyes and see nothing? All right, I got 4 points. All right, you'll see where I'm going here with the first point in just a minute. Let's think, first of all, think of the world's view about life, about nature. This is a view that literally was held for centuries. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. For centuries, for millennia, folks believed that there were nymphs and elves and fairies that lived in the woods and lived in the trees and in the flowers and in the creeks and in the rivers and in the lakes. I mean, you go back and read history and you will find out that there, for millennia, people believed that this environment of ours had all these little spooky things. And people talked about them and they looked for them and they wrote stories about them. And we're still advancing all of that today. You say, how so, Pastor? I'm talking about J.R.R. Tolkien and The Lord of the Rings. I'm talking about The Hobbits, the Hobbit movies, the Lord of the Ring trilogy. I mean, all of this stuff is still with us today. And for centuries, men felt like when they went into the woods, they were being watched. They felt like when they crossed the mountains that there were these little creatures, these little critters, and they were popping out from behind trees and popping their heads up from behind rocks and were watching what men were doing. Now, as civilization increased in knowledge, you with me? As civilization increased in knowledge, we all realized just how ridiculous all of this is. Our increased knowledge of our environment has forever banished this foolishness from our thinking. You see, our eyes today, stay with me now, our eyes today have opened to our world around us, and now with open eyes, we see nothing. We don't see any of that stuff. Hey, listen, you remember, and don't raise your hand here, but let me ask you, were any of you scared as a child? And you thought something was in your closet or under your bed? Yeah, you remember that, don't you? And you remember your mom telling you get out of bed one more time. But mom, there's something in the closet. And do you remember when your mother turned the light on, walked you over to the closet, turned the light on in the closet, took a flashlight and showed you there was nothing in that closet. But it didn't suffice, did it? Oh, no. And it was not until you learned a little bit. It was not until you grew up a little bit. It was not until you matured a little bit that you had your eyes opened and you realized that you saw nothing. Nod your head. You with me? All right, now let's bring it more, instead of general, more a little bit more specific. Number two, I want you to think about all the little things that we struggle with and we battle with in our lives. I mean, just think about all the little frets and problems. Just think about all the little conflicts, all the little relationship things that come our way each day. These little pinpricks, these little nagging things, you know, like people talking about us, people gossiping about us, these little things like somebody offending you. They may not have even meant to do it, or they may have meant to do it. But nonetheless, you got offended. I'm talking about these little things where somebody is unkind to us, or at least we think they are unkind to us. And you see, there are people who brood on that stuff until they can see nothing else. Oh my, it just occupies their every waking moment. I mean, it controls them throughout the day, and then it keeps them up at night, and they tend to it, and they water it, and they nurture it until they are totally consumed with the matter, and it controls their every thought and every emotion. And you know, teenagers are notorious for this. And young couples are notorious for this kind of thing. But maturity, the years, and the grace and mercy of God eventually opens their eyes. And when their eyes are opened, they see that all of these little pinpricks and all of these little grievances and all of these little head games that they played for years are actually nothing. They realize how foolish. But wait a minute. How many years were wasted? How many years were wasted? I mean, I just wish that I could get some folks, I mean, some young people, some teenagers, and some young married couples, and I just wish that I could get you to see this truth. You will be offended as you go through life. I'm sorry, that's just life. You are going to get hurt as you grow. You are going to get wronged in some fashion. And when it happens, you need not let it consume you. Your hurt, your harm, that should not be all that you think about. Because what happens is when you let it consume you, it hurts. And what do when you hurt? You close your eyes. That's the immediate response. You just close those eyes. And isn't it a shame why you got your eyes closed, how much you're missing? And one of these days when you grow up, don't get mad at me, the truth hurts sometimes. And one of these days when you grow up, you're going to turn around and go, I don't see a thing. That's because there was nothing there to see. But how many years were lost? How much blessing was lost? How much of the goodness and grace of God did you miss? Let me just give everyone a little piece of pastoral advice tonight. Here it is. You ready? Get over it. Grow up and let it go. Just get over it. And if you will just open your eyes, you will see that it was all about nothing to begin with. You know, some things just aren't worth fighting over. Number three, I want you to think of this principle and the passing of the years. Man, isn't it amazing how we change as the years go by? You know, a little child can sit in his room and look at a picture of a desert or an ocean or a mountain on his wall. And that little child will sit there and stare at that picture and get every little nugget out of that picture he can get. But then, as the years pass, he is educated. And those little eyes are taught to see. And he will go or she will go off to college and or maybe go into the military, and then they'll travel the country or perhaps go overseas with the military, and then with open eyes will come back home and go in that childhood room. See that old picture that they used to stare at for hours on end. But this time when they look at it, they don't see anything. They've been there. They've done that. Having experienced the world, the little scene in the picture seems like nothing now. Now, folks, would you just think about that? I want every teenager to listen. I want every mom and dad to listen. I want you to listen to me here for just a second. You know, let's think about, we're talking about the passing of the years. I want every mom and dad to listen. I don't know if the Lord tarries his coming, what you're going to need this, but I'll guarantee you somebody here tonight's going to need this. You know, somebody wisely said, love is blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener. Huh? How many young, naive girls have fallen madly in love and against the wishes and against the warnings of a loving dad and a loving mother ran off and got married or got pregnant? And now you know what happened after that, don't you? They got their eyes opened. Love is blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener. And when her eyes were opened, she saw nothing. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean, she saw nothing of the man she thought she was marrying. She saw nothing of the strength she thought she was getting. She saw nothing but selfishness. She saw nothing but coldness and pride where she thought and where she was looking for love and security. How many young and foolish eyes have been blinded by the light of sin? Young people, you be careful. You be careful. There are certain decisions that you are forced into most of the time, long before you're ready to make those decisions. And you better be careful that you don't make a decision without first checking with what mom and dad think about it. And then secondly, what does your pastor think about it? Or what does your youth pastor think about it? Or what does my Sunday school teacher think about it? Because you go into something with your eyes shut. Because that's what sin does. It blinds the eyes. And how many times do you get into the situation and then you open your eyes up and look around and what do you have? Nothing. That's exactly what the devil wants you to have. Nothing. Nothing. Make godly choices. Make godly decisions. Be careful about the decisions that you're going to make when you get 18 and 19 and 20 and 21 years of age. I mean, make prayerful decisions in your life. You get away from mom and dad. You get away from the church. You get away from your godly environment. And the next thing you know, the devil is out there luring you into new friends and new associates. And then you find yourself dating the wrong person and doing things that completely have your eyes shut tightly. You better be careful. Because one day, and it's just the way life is, one day enough time is going to pass and you're going to open your eyes. And when you open those eyes, you'll look around and see that all of that was for naught. All it did was just mess up the plan of God and the will of God for your life. All right, one more, but you might want to put a seatbelt on for this one. I'm going to share with you my heart tonight. Fourth thing I want you to see from this text, how to apply it. I see this text applying to all these isms that are bombarding the church of Jesus Christ today. You say, what isms? All of them. All of them. All the isms. Calvinism. Mormonism. Jehovah's false witnessism. All of them. You know, folks, listen to me. Listen now. I'm going to teach you something tonight, and I want you to get it. There are doctrines, and there are philosophies that churches all over America are jumping into and onto. And you know, the surprising thing is the world is just eating it up. The world loves it. I had a fella recently, and he told me that these emerging churches are going to be the end of the traditional church in America. Now, I have taught you, I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, I think before I went on vacation, what these emerging churches are. They're popping up. Everywhere. Everywhere. They're well-financed. They're well-sponsored. They're organized. They've got a business plan. And they're popping up everywhere. There's no soul winning. And yet their churches fill up in no time. You say, well, how do they get their people? It's what the world wants. And they use social media. And they use the post office. There's no soul winning. Did I emphasize that to you? You say, well, Pastor, what do they believe? Good question. If you get a chance, ask one of them. You probably know some folks that go. I know you know some folks to go, because if you will look around at the holes, that's where they are. So ask them what they believe. You're going to be in for a rude awakening, because they don't know what they believe. They have no clue. You see, in this new world influence, it's what the world wants. And that's why it's so attractive, folks. You say, well, Pastor, what is it? I'll tell you what it is. It is church without conviction. And the reason it's church without conviction is because there is no authority. Now, every time you come in here, what do? I take this book and have you turn to a passage of Scripture, and I preach to you the authority of God. In this one right up the road here, you know where they cross the road? Last Sunday, the sermon was on the redeeming values of Disney's Frozen. When they gathered for church, they put "Let It Go" on the board, and they all sung "Let It Go." They put "Do You Want to Build a Snowman" on the board, and they all sung with a smile on their face, giving glory to God, "Do You Want to Build a Snowman?" I'm telling you, folks, that's blasphemy. Pure and simple, it's blasphemy. You say, "Preacher, this is going out over the internet." I told you when we fired this thing up, I was not going to let it change the way I preach. Amen. There's salt and pepper back in the back. You can just lump it any way you want. Put salt and pepper on it if you want, however, it doesn't matter. But the truth needs to be told. I am sick and tired of this stuff. And it's destroying families. They say that it's building families. No, it's destroying families. And that's why it's so attractive, because it's what the world wants. There is no authority. Anything goes. Everything goes. You can come to church and drink liquor and drink wine and drink beer. It's okay. Nobody here's going to judge you. You see, folks, the problem is we got a Bible that judges us. But they don't have a Bible. And who is being pulled towards these places? I tell you who's being pulled towards these places. Young people. Young couples with small children. And how many of them go because it's the rage? It's cool. Come as you are. Nobody here going to judge you. It's the world. And the world is attractive. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. If you go there saved. Now remember, they don't do any soul winning. They don't believe in that. As a matter of fact, they preach against us because we win souls to Christ. I've heard the sermons. Called by name. Warning people. Warning their people how to handle us. You see, the truth will set you free. You say, but Pastor, it's got church on it. Not everything that glitters is gold. Not everything that glitters is gold, folks. Well, wait a minute. If you're saved and you go there, you have got, as you watch what goes on, you have got to close your eyes to some things. Would you let that sink in? You go there, you've got to close your eyes to some things. You can't sit there and watch with your eyes wide open if you're saved. But if the Lord tarries, stay with me now, if the Lord tarries, you mark my word, the day is coming where you're going to have to open your eyes. You see, right now in youth, the sun is shining and the world is just so bright and cheery. It's just beautiful all around. Everything's great. But these eyes wide shut, babes in Christ have never been plunged into the depths yet and have never felt their utter need for the Lord Jesus Christ and that personal relationship and walk. They've never been down that road yet. And let me tell you something, folks. It may be that if the sun were always brightly shining, the message from these churches would be sufficient. If the sun were always shining, if we gathered in here and none of us ever had a problem, we didn't have a health problem. We didn't have a broken heart problem. We didn't have a rebellious child problem. We didn't get the phone call from the doctor's office that said, I'm sorry, but I got to tell you the bad news. Cancer is eating through your body right now. You see, if we never had a dark and sunny day, the message that these birds are proclaiming might be sufficient. But you mark my word, dear friend, the day is coming, as it does for all of us. The day is coming when you're going to get the news. You're going to find out about a disease. You're going to find out about cancer. You see, when you need Christ and you need an arm to lean on and you need a shoulder to cry on and you need a hand to hold you up, that little Christian light, no Bible, no truth, feel good, hugs and kisses, religion that you've been practicing is not going to cut it for you. It's just not going to work. And on that day, when that day comes, it might be 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. It may be when you're in your 40s and your little darlings are now in high school. And they just take your heart in their hands and squish it. And then all of a sudden and you look around and you got nothing. Because you don't have a Bible. You've been taught that is irrelevant. You've been taught that that is irrelevant. Why, any old Bible's okay. When one of your children runs headlong into sin, your little Christianity light is not going to work. When one of your kids gets in a car and kills somebody using a car as a weapon because they're high on something or drunk on something. Let me tell you something, folks. You better be able to open your eyes and see Jesus. So many young couples from our church have been sucked into the vortex of this foolishness. Oh, we just fellowship. We just all get together and discuss our problems. And there is no relationship with God mentioned anywhere in any of it. It's all about us. And one of these days, dear friend, one of these days, these folks are going to open their eyes and they're going to see nothing. Sad. I've been thinking on this for a month. I've been brewing this sermon for a month. I have had this text for a month. And I want to do something. I've talked to the board about it. Got the board's amen. I got the board's prayer. Preacher, we're with you. I want to do something to help. I want to do something to stem the tide. Many of you have been in this church for a long time. How many of you have been here 30 years? Raise your hand. Look at that. It's amazing. How many of you remember when Ralph Nevin was Dr. Smith's assistant pastor? Yeah, you remember that, don't you? Dr. Smith went to Ralph and said, Ralph, we need to get a Sunday school class and build our church around the young couples. And they started the Conqueror Sunday School class. You look back into the 80s when this church began to grow, and it grew around young couples with small children. And you know the Conquerors class is still going. Only now those 20 and 30 somethings are 60 and 50, late 50s and 60 and 70 somethings. And the Lord laid on my heart about 2.5 months ago that what I need to do is get the focus on these young couples. And I'm going to start a Sunday school class. But I need to hire somebody. We don't have it in the budget to hire somebody. So I'm doing it on faith. But I'm going to hire somebody to take the buses and the children's ministry. And I'm going to put Pastor Chris and his wife Amy in that Sunday school class. He knows all these couples, and he has a heart to do it. And we're going to start a new Sunday school class just for young couples. Amen. And I think God will bless it. Now, I've got the man for the bus ministry and the children's ministry. But I need to let him resign where he is before he comes here. So I can't tell you who it is. Because if his church finds out, they're going to come up here and shoot me. But trust me, the Lord has done it, not me. Now, you remember when Larry died? I waited. And what, 9 months went by? 9 months. I didn't look. I didn't make phone calls. I just said, Lord, you know what we need, and you know when we need him, so you send him to me. And when the time was full, God sent Ray. Amen. And Lisa. Amen. We've been thinking about sending her back. No, you know better than that. And I've been waiting now. I brought this up in the June board meeting, wasn't it, Don? I brought this up in the June board meeting. So I've been waiting now for 2 months. And the Lord has worked it out. And you'll be happy with who is coming. So we're going to start this. We're going to start it immediately. I want a foundation. You know, I sit here and I look around and I see holes. You know, a lot of them people, you know where they are? They're with the Lord. And you know, I sit here and I look around and there's a lot of others of us. If the Lord tarries, we're going to be with the Lord soon ourselves. You know it's true. There's got to be a foundation underneath us.
That's right.
And I don't want us to live our Christian life, open our eyes, and see nothing. When we open our eyes, I want us to see these kids on the platform. When we open our eyes, I want to see, like they did last week and standing up here telling about winning people to Jesus. That's what I want to see. I read that verse several weeks ago now. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He couldn't see anything. Man. May God help us. May God help us. Folks, we got work to do. We can't just sit back on our laurels and say, well, you know, the Lord's coming. Yes, he is. And we're to occupy till he comes. So let's get with it. For his honor, for his glory.